open.
That watermelon's gonna fall out of there.
Yeah, right?
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Good.
Here we go.
There.
Okay.
Alright, ready to go?
Yes.
Okay, rolling again. 274. No, 275. It is frequently declared that the creation and satisfaction of feelings, longings, and desires is the motivating force behind all human endeavors and actions. 276. Your body thrives on sensations as an embodied personal being. Instead of guiding and directing your body, you tend to follow your body's command and seek sensations. Whether desirable or undesirable, only the sensation matters. Yet self, whether personal or eternal, desires life without discontent. Maybe they're intimate friends that just have to learn to get along. In the 1930s, astronomer Fritz Zwicky, I assume that's a Z.
Zwicky.
Slide it all together.
In the 1930s, astronomer Fritz Zwicky suggested that the universe was filled with dark matter and dark energy. But astronomers considering that what is important and interesting occurs in the light, were not really interested in Zwicky's theory of dark matter and energy. Besides, they couldn't see dark matter or locate and measure dark matter, so what did it really matter?
Oh, what can the matter be?
Oh, dear.
What can the
matter be? I don't know that one. So what? Did it really matter? 278. In revealing the self, we know within your body. Sorry, guys. I'm like, we're not aware of that. 278. In revealing that the self we know within your body is only about 5% of you, while 95% of you is embodied and unembodied and unseen, you seem to react like the astronomers did to Zwicky. That since you can't see or locate or measure your 95%, you're not really interested. Especially since what is emotionally exciting seems to be happening in your 5% body and world today. Does anybody else want to read? I'm
here,
really wearing out.
Give me that thing.
I can read also, I guess, when
Okay,
you
can
read.
When you hear my English,
we
can hear your English.
It's practicing.
Yes. Mm. Practicing. So 279. What is emotional exciting to your stimulates and sustains your language, mind, and memories, which tends to block your memory minding? Have you ever considered that the expanded purpose of emotions is to override your memories and languaging and free you to memory minding your eternal self, which is the dark side or unused waste past,
unseen,
vast past and environment of you?
That's an interesting notion. No, I have never considered that. Mm. Hmm. Andrew says, emotions makes me stupid.
I didn't say that. That's a collective view. That was emotions make Pat stupid. I never meant that.
Though, if the shoe fits.
Well, the shoe fits on me. That's why I say it.
Something more, Patrick?
Fine.
218. Your dark matter self is not bad or evil, nor is it actually dark. Just as your dreams and visions are not dark with your eyes shut tight. Your dark matter self is your expansive and extensive eternal self, which is greater environment of yourself. But you, like Zwicky, colleagues, have been so devoted and dedicated to the light and enlightenment and blinded by the light that you have sacrificed this more expansive and extensive part of yourself. Doesn't it seem wise to continue in this way? To 81. If you understand this, you certainly won't refer to your eternal environment self, or 95% dark matter self, or your unlighted eternal self as your shadow self, will you? For your eternal self is actually more substantial and certainly more durable than your 5% self. Just as scientists located dark matter by its gravity, or how it attracts, distorts the light from distant galaxies, you can locate your dark matter eternal self by the way it distorts everything you have ever heard about light and enlightenment, and your attraction to these aspects of life, and everything you have heard and believe about an eternal self is distorted as well. For it is not all wise or divine. It is merely ancient. You are never independent of your environment of memories. The environment that is you, and the environment with which you exist, within you exist. The 95% dark matter you we don't see, and the environment of the universe and world around you. Even in ending, the focus of personal memories that is you today, you still exist as a focus of eternal memory. Centuries ago, Aristotle declared that the fundamental truth of the universe is that everything is an effect of a previous cause. And that cause is the effect of prior cause, which is the effect of an even earlier cause. And that reverse effect and cause continues to the first cause, which is God, who is uncaused or self-caused. Now, since a truth must always and in all ways be true, if everything in life is caused except the first cause, which is uncaused, then this exception reveals that this is not a fundamental truth of the universe. The only truth that can proceed from an uncaused first cause is that everything is uncaused ex nihilo, from nothing, or self-caused from memory, which appears as nothing, but is quite as locked, sort of like dark matter. 285.
Sorry, what was that you said? Like memory, which is quite
a lot.
A lot. Oh, okay.
Sort of like dark matter.
Okay.
Would you rather have an intimate relationship or be the reason you have an intimate relationship? Assuming you choose to be the reason you have intimate relationships, then you cannot wait until you have an intimate relationship to be intimate. You must be intimate today, so intimacy flows from you and creates an intimate environment all around you, which attracts an intimate partner to you and your environment of intimacy. In much the same way, if you want to continue being alive and know and experience your continuing, it certainly seems to do, then you must create your eternal self, just as you would create your form of intimacy. And live as a recurring, communion, personal, eternal self today, which commands the universe in your being eternal. 286. And just as you cannot wait until you have an intimate relationship to be intimate, you cannot wait until death to know and experience your eternal self continuing. 287. Though you probably won't believe this, being intimate and creating an intimate environment only arises from living every moment and actions, self-evidently so, you would be and live eternally, such that this is the focus and environment that is you, and this is intimacy. 288. After many, many centuries of studying and experiencing, of worship and being faithful, and of meditation and deep contemplation, no one has discovered any meaning and purpose for life or for existence. Certainly, you are now willing to consider the possibility that the memory and purpose of life is to live without discontenting yourself. Did you? The natural world does not exhibit any ideas, any fineness, any purpose to achieve, and it is only in setting ideals and goals that people feel and exhibit discontent. 290. Isn't it possible that the truth of the universe, the harmony of things, the basis of existence, will not be revealed to the mind that sets ideals, and in that is discontent? Not sure.
And in that is discontent.
Yes. Yeah. 291. Many people complain of working much longer
hours
today just to make ends meet. What is ends meet? Ends meet. Yeah.
Like this.
Okay. Which means they have little time for family and personal relationships, and find little meaning or satisfaction in their life, such that they feel out of control and pushed around by the demands of their life and work. 292. If you feel there is little enduring meaning and purpose, or true satisfaction in your life, and you feel overwhelmed and overworked and discontent, this is just the right time to suggest that what you really, really need is not relief from the stress and strain of your life. You need to add an eternal emprise to your life. 293. An eternal emprise is an activity or focus of life you would willing live eternally, without any conditions or expectations.
Exceptions.
Okay. Such an emprise is not an ideal. It is like an eternal being, an essential image of yourself and life around which everything in your life and world will coalesce eternally and make perfect sense and offer true meaning and purpose for you and your life today, which will ease your discontent. And can you end discontent eternally?
And can
end your discontent eternally?
Yes, that's not a question, that's a fact. Statement. Who are you? Do you know?
Oh, 294. Who are you? Do you know? Yet you believe this unknown you has the freedom, free will, to choose and act as you desire. And from that, you will discover who you are. Don't you believe it? You have the freedom and ability to declare who you are and live that. And the universe that only reacts will, from your actions and affirm that's who you are. 295. Whether or not you realize it, you act self-evidently according to the personal environment of memories you have chosen to experience, the memory you have chosen to be. That is your provenance. Provenance, history of your eternal self. The essence and ultimate nature of yourself and life today, and the source of your actions. Mm-hmm. You are the source and ultimate nature of your personal self, the source and nature of your eternal self, the source and nature of your continuing. Question there?
In other words, other than non-existence. Versus non-existence.
Okay, alright.
296. Your ability to hold images and project them into the future enables you to identify what you desire to become and do, and develop many ways to accomplish these goals. And it is declared that this truly helps you. But in fact, this defeats you, simply because in focusing on what you want to become, you have destroyed your awareness of who you are. The options you have in being and living everything self-evidently as you are, which is why memory is so vital. While memories enables you to particularize and personalize the world around you as you truly desire. 97. Memories and memory also give you a present and a continuing sense of identity and meaning. If you want to know and awarefully experience your continuing, awaken from your languaged self and life today to your eternal self and continuing memory, to communion with your personal self and memories. 298. Communioning memories does not mean to live the past over and over. This communion gives you a foundation and a awareful footing for your emergent resplendent self. But first, we should discuss your body in more detailed and expansive ways. 299. Your body is yours, but it is not you. Actually, your body belongs to your parents. They made it as a loan for you. As such, your parents are your body's parents, not your parents. And your brothers and sisters are part of your body's family, not yours. Question: do I have other parents?
That is a question that we've pondered. Did you understand her question, Roger?
Sure.
Okay. Do you remember?
Yes. Yes.
That we have eternal.
Just the same as Matthias, my father.
Yeah. Oh, so you.
We have eternal parents.
So can I meet them?
Sure.
Through imaginative minding, maybe?
Imaginative minding, just like Roger did.
Yeah.
He met his.
Sure, I've met Matthias.
Okay.
Now, are those...
We don't agree about anything.
I know. does this parents, like, are this parenthood by declaration? Like, they just declare, okay, I'm your father, I'll be your father, you're my father, or is it actually they become you? They give...
Something happens for them to become a parent.
Oh. Okay.
It's giving, in a sense, birth to new, quote-unquote, souls.
Yeah.
New eternal selves that have never existed before.
All right.
They conjured you up.
Okay.
Boy, what a mistake.
I think I'm bringing a lot to them.
Yeah, smack them upside the head. Yeah, yeah.
So
pretty interesting.
Is this a newborn soul and not alone? Do I understand that correct?
It's not a loner body. It's not this kind of parents that we think you're asking about.
Yes.
The you that is you, the one that is recurring, has parents.
Yes.
Yes. You are an idea that they brought into existence.
Right.
So. Interesting. But so you have their eternal DNA.
Is it required too?
That's a good question because we've never run across his mother.
What?
Did you have a mother also?
Eternal mother?
Or are you just the spawn?
You don't need a mother.
You don't need one.
That's
so
what I thought. You're just the idea of a mother. That is your parent.
There I am. I think we are on 299, huh?
Yes.
Okay. Not your parents. And your brothers and sisters are part of your body's family, not yours. But, of course, you gain benefits from your body's parents and extended family.
Or not.
Yeah, I'm in the or not.
Or not. I would add that too. 300. When cells divided to form your body,
you're putting it towards me, not to you.
Makes it hard to hear.
Like this? When cells divided from
form
your body, each new cell record the same genes. Yet, stem cells particularized and personalized to become different body parts and functioning properties
properly.
Which indicates that cells become different and function differently, because a different pattern of genes is active and in different cells. Okay. No. Which enables you to personalize your loner body.
Personify
your loner body to suit you. All right, that's your body. But what about the self we know as you?
Well, what?
She's going
what
on.
What about it?
Like a stem cell.
301. Like a stem cell, you choose who you will be and live that. A stem cell does not, for example, live as a liver cell and become that. It individualizes as a liver cell and lives that emergently, self-evidently. I hope so. Mm-hmm. 302. Genes, it seems, guide and control your body and its processes. In a similar manner, memories seems to guide and control you and your process today. In this, your body functions within an environment of genes. You today function within an environment of memories, and your eternal self exists within an environment of memory. While genes guide and control body functions, memories and emotions seems to dominate your actions today. And memory guides eternally deeds and achievements. Emergent from these constituents is an eternal illuminating being called resplendent, which is you, but not you. For it is the ultimate nature of you. The reason you have not understood this before is because you think and live beginnings and endings, and birth and death, while life is a continuous emergent process that constantly adds to itself and the environment, or to the source and ultimate nature of the universe. Live yourself and life as an emergent process, not cause and effect. And you too will be revealed and portrayed as an ever-expanding, ever-extending, resplendent being.
There we go.
304. Following the pattern of body cells to particularize and personalize to become different body parts and functions properly, And just as you personalize your loner body to suit you, as you particularize and personalize and remember each random event in your world through memories. This begins emergently personifying your eternal self and life today. Three or five. As your genes do not act alone in your body, but are turned on or off by your deeds and memories, the MEMS, what? MEM, a piece of memory or a segment of memory, okay, of memory, like the genes of the body cell, are also turned on and off by your deeds and memories. What means deeds?
Actions.
Doings. No. Okay. 306. Your body cells react to individual pattern of genes, which reacts to your personal patterns of deeds and memories, which means that deeds and memories alone do not control and limit or free your body cells and functions. However, your continued pattern of deeds and memories do restrict you or free you. And the same is true of your eternal self and actions and memory, which are governed by your personal deeds and memories, which can be spoken of as below, so above. And as Jesus said to Peter, whatsoever you shall be bind on earth, read as personal self, okay, shall be beyond bound, in heaven. Read as eternal self. So earth would be personal self and heaven eternal self. Huh? And whatsoever thou shalt.
That's Bible talk.
Yes. Shalt lose on earth in your personal self and life shall be loosed in heaven. In your eternal self and life. Okay?
I was a little bit stuttering here. You want me to read a little bit? Yeah.
If you want to continue being alive, and it seems that is an overriding desire in your life, along with knowing and experiencing your continuing, then it is vital for you to live as a communion, personal, eternal individual, or more importantly, or more properly declared, as an emergent, illuminated being called resplendent. 308. The universe only reacts and cannot act intentionally. Only sentient beings can action. Therefore, Sir Isaac Newton's third law of motion is more correctly stated that for every reaction, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Actually, since the universe's reactions are all emergent, and that expands the universe, then this law of motion must be additionally revised to say that for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction, and a whole lot more. The emergent reactions of the universe requires that if you want to continue and know and experience your continuing, then you must be and live as an eternal being today, as an abiding being today, eternal abiding being today. I'll get it out there yet. So the universe and your eternal self can respond to your deeds and memories and offer you the continuing you desire and much more. For just as personal attitudes and actions build or destroy your eternal self through memory, you create or destroy or leave
follow.
Fallow.
Fallow.
Fallow. Oh, leave fallow. You're continuing. Maybe I should make it a little bit bigger. Genes and genetic makeup so dominate biology today, such that organisms, including your body, have become, it seems, merely a focus of genes. Actually, biology has set genes as causal determiners for all organisms, yourself included. But you, as a personal being, are a personified focus of memories, and you, as an eternal being, are a personified focus of memory. But, unfortunately, you let emotions in the genes dominate and control you such that they have become the causal determiners of your body and life today, which overshadows and thus conceals that today you are actually a temporary focus of an eternal environment of memory. As memories are the source and ultimate nature of you and your personal life today, memory is the source and ultimate nature of your eternal self and life today, such that as the focus of memory changes, you recur as a personal being, which changes the focus of memory. 312. Though everything in your life seems like a Turing feedback, there must be a system, huh?
Mm-hmm.
A Turing feedback system, much as a dream reveals the self and life you are living, regardless of what you think you are living, life as a continuous cycle is much more than that. It is a feed-into system. In the same way that you and the universe exists in a mutual feed-into system, personal you and eternal you are involved in a similar relationship. You might call this the dance of life. For in using memory and memories, you as a personal being determine your eternal self, which in turn determines how you are and how you express as a personal being in your life today, and reveals what it is like being you. This is not a circular trap, because each cycle is a constituent of another emergent cycle, which makes you an ever-expanding emergent being. Emergent life, oh, this is 314. Emergent life offers a vision of the divine relationship between body and self, between personal and eternal, and between you and the universe, and reveals how they are each formed and conditioned by this relationship as an interdependent communion. However, no matter what your communion is, this only hints at what it can be, but does not reveal that, nor is anything ever spoken about what it should be. 315. Life and all things in life are emergent, not caused. This is free will. Therefore, there is no goal to life. In fact, a goal would make life meaningless. Set a goal to know the meaning of your life, and no matter the goal you set or what you do, in that, your life becomes meaningless. Now, if there's any questions along the way, don't forget to ask.
Yep. Okay. We're doing pretty good, actually.
Yeah, this is pretty
straightforward. Yeah.
316. All religions of God preach a goal, such as becoming one with God, or a different goal that comes from God. Follow these life goals, or any life goal, and you do yourself a tremendous disservice, for any life goal destroys the expansive nature of emergent and squeezes life into the confines and bondage of cause and limited effects. Now, in my big voice, you are an eternal abiding being. Living as an eternal abiding being is your religion.
Is that how those are supposed to be read?
Yes.
I didn't read them with the right inflection. Thank you.
It has
it's
to have...
It's a volume indicator.
It's This is important. You've
got to use your radio voice.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thus ends that.
Religion, part two.
Eternal religion, part two. You know, if we're going to commercialize and sell this book, I think Simone's voice would be good. Like, it's got that exotic feel that, like, a lot of the 90s, like, self-help tapes had, like those self-meditation ones or something. Ah, number 304. Like, really puts me in that state of mind. Very good.
Okay, so we're moving into
a new weird world
chapter. It's a weird world. You don't have that. That's right. I didn't print that for you yet. I will have to do that. Sorry.
No.
Oh, there's a spare book right over there.
But you probably don't want me to write it. Yeah,
no, I don't.
Yeah, so that's okay.
You want to pass it down?
No, she's just going
to write it. Yeah, she wants to write on papers.
Yeah, that's the purpose of the paper.
Yes, I realize. Okie dokie.
It's a weird world.
It's a very weird world out there.
Overture.
Overture.
And these are what overtures?
Oh, you woke up. Hi. Overture, what he's doing is he's setting up things where he takes these pages and puts them just into a small little pamphlet, and then it's just kind of a brief overview of what the stuff is about. Do I have that correct, Roger? Yes.
Yeah, very cool.
It's a way I could sneak healing in there.
Oh, I like that.
But without making the focus on healing.
Okay.
Okay. One. See, we're at one again. Okay. Spirit, mind, and body does not exist separately, nor are they interconnected. They are communioned as one, in which each maintains its separateness, yet they exist and act as one, and can be simultaneously interactive and interdependent. Every belief, thought, attitude, emotion, word, and action of your personal self forms and creates your eternal abiding self and life. Only by giving form and life to your abiding spirit is your abiding spirit given life and form in your life. Disease and afflictions do not and cannot indicate or reveal a weak, wrong, or harmful spirit. Illnesses merely reveal that the mortal self and life you are living and struggling against, as opposed to the eternal self and life you truly desire. Two, events, relationships, and circumstances do not happen to you. Whether or not you realize it, they are part of your body self and life by your choice. Everything you have chosen. Anything you do not have, that is because you have not chosen it. The universe benevolently fulfills the choices you make and act upon. Nothing occurs by accident. Yet, in this, you do not cause your health or illnesses. They are emergent. Your body speaks louder than words about you and your life. Have you listened openly, honestly, and intimately lately? Okay, now into the body of Weird World. One. Years ago, a British scientist declared, probably relative to the then current quantum theory, in which particles move from here to there without traveling from here to there. In the future, he said, we will discover the universe is weirder than we believe it is. Actually, we will probably discover the universe is weirder than we could ever have believed it to be. But the scientist was thinking in terms of complexity. While we see this weirdness as simplicity that we have complicated with language and distorted beliefs, there are no opposing dualities in the universe, not even good and evil. For, as Parmenides declared centuries ago, anything that can only be defined as not its opposite, as good is not evil and evil is not good, is a not thing. Both good and evil are not things. Good and evil complicate life rather badly. Two, matters can be communioned to function together as a whole or to function separately and individually. But communioned matters never oppose each other. Many years ago, Parmenides, a man came to the gate of Sparta, where two men approached him. One man said, "My friend here is a Spartan, and he claims that all Spartans are liars. Is he telling the truth or lying?" If the man, a Spartan, is telling the truth, then he is lying in saying all Spartans are liars. And if he is lying, then he is telling the truth, that all Spartans are not liars. And if he is lying, then he is telling the truth, that all Spartans are not liars. All opposing dualities create difficulties such as this. 3. Your dreams are weird, in that dreams composed of dark matter, presented at night in the darkness of mind, are frequently clearer and easier to see than daytime matters presented in the sunlight. Isn't that weird?
Red pen is there.
4. Last week, I dreamed that age 12, my father brought home an elephant from the Department of Agriculture, which he kept in the backyard. This dream did not fade. I memoried taking the elephant to school for show and tell. Our backyard wasn't really suitable for keeping an elephant, but we managed until we moved away and left the elephant behind. Now, if you really consider the situation carefully, you will see that at 85 years of age today, I have lived 85 years without an elephant in the backyard, and 73 years with an elephant in the backyard, such that today I am 158 years old. And this is similarly true of you as well, because we live and thrive by memory time, or live and die by clock time. Forget about Einstein's space-time. You were meant to live by memory time. 5. It says in the Bible that Methuselah lived 969 years, and Spalding, in his books, The Life and Teachings of the Masters of the Far East, tells of masters who lived 200 to 600 years. Are you willing to live as an abiding being by memory time in abiding universe, even if everyone else lives by clock time? And we grab the red pen again, and we run across the room, since Roger is following so closely on. What number was that?
5.
And he's not even on the right page. Thank you for bearing with me.
The circle is to call your attention, but you didn't mark what it is you want to do.
It's going
to
be self-explanatory when I get to it.
I doubt it.
Look at it and tell me that it's not. 6. Now, since I have given myself and memoried a past as a teacher in the Parthenon in Athens, Greece, it is reasonable to declare that in this life I have lived more than 2,500 memoried years. Such a life is available to you as well. Are you interested? I hear all those yeses going on.
I got a question.
Didn't hear any comment.
No, I've got a question that is not terribly relevant, but I have a question about your past in the Parthenon. Were you a designer of the Parthenon as well as a teacher?
No.
Just a teacher. Okay.
Anything you want else you want to say about that while I fix this?
Well, you fix this. What is this that you're fixing?
Mosquito diffuser.
The diffuser.
No, that's mosquito stuff. Yeah, they're starting to come back, so it's wearing off.
I plugged it in sideways in the... I didn't realize what it was. It was blood pressure.
That's why I rescued it.
What happened to Jennifer?
She had to go to work.
To work?
This is work.
I thought she was working on her own. I didn't know she was employed.
At a spa, yeah.
Oh.
Okay, where was I?
Seven.
Number seven. You can experience your abiding self and life at the Emergent Life Center. The weirdness of the universe is that it is a consistent and reliable environment to be alive in, and it gives you complete access to the knowledge of the universe for you to use in forming and living your abiding self and light. Isn't that weird? I don't hear any yays or nays.
Yes, that is weird.
So weird. Okay. Eight. Life is about the communion of a personal being and an abiding being. One is not right and the other wrong. Personal being and abiding being can function independently or as a greater whole. Everybody got that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nine. When you first come to the communion with your abiding self, though your intention and enthusiasm are great, and you feel open to all that that will come, you will soon sense and experience your enthusiasm and fine intentions slipping away. And your openness to abiding will weaken or close down. Do not be discouraged or let yourself become doubtful. Remain steady, and your personal being, abiding being, communion will return to you. If you try to cause communion, you will, in that, delay or even deny communion. And if you forget and find yourself drawn back to your loner self and loner effects and swept away by its enticements, relax to the comfort and knowing and promise of communion with our vast abiding self, and it will return. Yes, communion of personal abiding being outside of cause and effect does seem desirable, doesn't it? Yet for most people, it seems remote and too far away in the future, and too impractical for now. With all of their necessary daily activities and pressing concerns, and it seems too deeply hidden with them or too expertly concealed from them. Or maybe they hear no unnecessary chatter of doubt and criticism within them. 11. If you have any of these feelings or concerns, relax to being in communion with your vast abiding self, and everything will return to you uncommonly support you and extraordinarily empower and enhance you in your daily affairs and relationships, which will release you from the pressure and distortion of cause and effect and all the difficulties you have languished yourself into. Do not wait in silence for your abiding self to speak to you. Give voice to your abiding being. For unlike cosmic consciousness that comes in a moment and burns out, life in communion of personal abiding self, being without imposing dualities and cause and effect, is a steady flame of awareness that burns constantly for you. It doesn't even need to be ignited, merely fanned and tended. Though you don't realize it, in living your loner self in duality in cause and effect, you are in the sleep of oblivion, such that no matter how earnestly and desperately you try, you cannot reach deeper or more expansively into life, or even into yourself than language will allow. The unseen of you is obscured and held captive by languaging, your cause and effect languaging. You are the jailer and prisoner of yourself. Are you willing to free your unseen, vast, abiding self to physical life and make it fully apparent in your body and life? 12. Do you want a meaningful life? Do you want to make a difference? If there is only one of you, then your life can only be meaningful relative to the world around you. And if the world around you has no real meaning, then your life has no meaning either. However, since there are several of you, a personal abiding being, functioning as a mutually supportive couplet, every thought or action, no matter how small or seemingly insignificant, is meaningful. Are you willing to lead and guide others to understand themselves in the same way and bring meaning and purpose to this life as well?
So why does the multitude accomplish that?
Roger.
12. Do you want meaningful life? Do you want to make a difference?
I hear you.
If there's...
We can't hear you if you're...
Sorry, yeah. Weird World number 12. Do you want a meaningful life? Do you want to make a difference? If there is only one of you, then your life can only be meaningful relative to the world around you. And if the world around you has no real meaning, then your life has no meaning either. However, since there are several of you, a personal abiding being, functioning as a mutually supportive couplet, every thought or action, no matter how small or seemingly insignificant, is meaningful. So I was just thinking about how the multitude accomplishes meaning. Do you have anything to say on that?
I don't know why you have a question.
Okay. Withdrawn. I'll think about it.
Don't get back to that.
Okay. I won't.
13. Everyone cannot be a great artist or performer, a great leader or scientist,
a great healer or caregiver. Yet when you consider it carefully, are any of these talents greater or finer than showing others to the meaningfulness of living in communion or personal being abiding, being as a mutually supportive couplet, or showing others the way to everlasting life? Rick voice. Meaning is in being and doing, not in consequences. Thank you for the dramatic. 14. An intimate communion of personal self, abiding self, illuminates yourself and earthly matters such that, instead of afflictions and sicknesses, sickness or trials and concerns, they will express and offer you great understandings and enriching fulfillment, which will enable you to live and express the full measure of yourself as you truly desire, not as a way to change or overcome the world, but for you to illuminate your world and be a light for others. Are you, through communion of your personal self, abiding self, willing to illuminate yourself and offer your light like a candle flame to ignite their candle so they can be on their own illuminated way? For they are not to follow you. They are to follow their own illumination. See, and that's one of the big problems of religion, is they say our way and follow our light, and I am the light, the way, and the whatever, and
truth.
The truth, the light, and the way.
I am the limitation.
Right? Yeah, I am the limitation. Follow me and you'll never get anywhere. 15. You have far more enhancing empowerment by sharing yourself in communion than you ever imagined right now. For you can enlighten, empower, and enhance the world. Or would you rather continue living as a loner body self and life of afflictions and lessons, a self and life of trials and burdens and learning, a self and life of tests and judgments? No matter what you desire, in living by languaging and cause and effect, all seeming effects, consequences or results of your actions,
that's
a correction on 15, Roger, are trials and lessons, and in that they are judgments of you. Even when you act intentionally through cause and effect, you are creating that action as a trial or lesson and a judgment. Aren't you tired of creating trials and lessons and judgments? 5 up from the bottom of the passage. 5 lines up. 16. In living...
Can't do all.
In living your languaging and cause and effect, you are living by judgments, and no amount of love or compassion or forgiveness can conceal or ease those judgments, for in cause and effect, love and compassion and forgiveness are themselves judgments. 17. If you want to live as you truly desire, then, for the most part, to be indifferent to the old experiences and handed down teachings of others, simply because those experiences are handed down on a distorted language and are therefore not reliable, this doesn't mean to abandon all advice and guidance. But just because experiences and teachings are declared to be true doesn't necessarily mean they are true, even if they have been repeated many times and handed down to be from wise teachers who deal as they have the authority to know and proclaim these experiences and teachings. So as long as you have a powerful voice and stand up on a soapbox, you are to be listened to. Is that right? It's like these actors and actresses that give their opinion as if it's they have some kind of authority, and I just look at them going, where did you get your authority? Yeah. Come on, let's be real. Okay, 18. Past experiences, even your own past experiences, hinder and frequently withhold your greatness. 19. Many teachers believe that all things are one or interconnected in an intricate network of divine consciousness, yet many of these same teachers also believe this divine oneness, which exists as a whole in itself, can interact with other aspects or whole beings. And when a soul becomes a liberated soul, an enlightened being, it enters a state in which it does not and cannot any longer interact with other souls or beings, only with itself. It is declared that in this state of consciousness, the liberated soul is not happy or sad, doesn't feel secure, joyful, or grieving, fulfilled, or empty. It exists in a state of complete awareness. But when you consider this teaching carefully, can't you see that such a state of consciousness, conscious unawareness, is oneness?
I think there's a typo there.
Okay.
Consciousness unawareness, or
can't you see that such a state of consciousness unawareness?
Is that a typo or not? Yes.
I thought, but when you consider this teaching carefully, can't you see that such a state of unawareness is oneness? Is what I thought it was supposed to say. I thought maybe the words might be out of order.
Well, since he's not paying attention, we don't know.
We'll never know.
Conscious unawareness.
Conscious unawareness.
So then that has to be...
Can't you see that such a state of conscious unawareness is oneness? I was thinking like oneness is a state of conscious unawareness.
21. 21. In being born, you have awakened from a state of unaware existence to being alive and aware. Such is a state of unexperienced, unexpressed joy to a condition of experience, expressed joyfulness. If you are unwilling to forsake your experiences and expressions, you must be indifferent to such beliefs and teachings of complete awareness in oneness. Do not squander yourself in meditation listening for answers. For as you are the eyes and hands and voice of an abiding being, you are the answer. Therefore, as the answer, stay active in mind at all times. A quiet mind that listens and absorbs is a selfish mind, while a mind that stays active offering is a considerate mind. 23. Can you consider the possibility that you do not, through beliefs, thoughts, attitudes, emotions, words, and actions, or by any other means, manifest illness to your body or mind, or problems to your life, that instead you manifest yourself to problems and illnesses? Since this is true, healing only by removing all manifestations of the illness and problems from a patient's body and mind does not heal them. You must manifest patients elsewhere, or guide them to manifest themselves elsewhere, so this problem or illness no longer has a receptive environment in which to thrive. Of course, sometimes you must weaken the illness or problem's grasp on patients so they can manifest themselves elsewhere. But until they do move elsewhere, no amount of problem resolution or healing has occurred or can occur. Choose whatever emotion you truly desire when offering a communion with your abiding being, and it shall be yours. But make this a fulfilling emotion with special meaning for you. For as you practice functioning in communion, you will find yourself enlivened and empowered and realized by that emotion everywhere you are, and you will feel the awakened promise of your abiding being with you. 25. Do not choose an emotion such as extreme exhilaration, euphoria, or rapture, which might keep you from functioning in your daily activities, for you are the eyes and hands and minds of this personal self, abiding self, communion. And communion being, when you find yourself awed by your own awareness, your knowing beyond knowing, by your words and actions, and your self-chosen emotion. Surprise yourself. Be more than you think you are.
Be all that you can be.
26. There is no pathway to communing with your abiding being. There is personal, that is personal to you. At the time and place you desire, for your personal self, abiding self, communion, and your self-chosen emotion requires that you pass beyond your reactive feelings, judgments, and cause and effect thinking and acting, and this must become as natural as breathing. And that's the tricky one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
How's that? Like, I think I'd get sucked into overcoming my reactive feelings, judgments, and cause and effect thinking and acting.
Yeah, you just gotta kind of just regroup.
What's the difference? What's passing beyond?
To me, passing beyond them is not reacting to. Mm-hmm.
So begin again, you're right, so that I'm not thinking about, oh, that cause and effect thinking that I was just doing, I'm going to think differently.
You just, yeah, it's like, that. I think what did you say, Missy? Refocus, reassess?
Regroup.
Yeah, that's like, to me, that's like begin again, because you're not dealing with the prior thing trying to overcome it. You're just saying, oh yeah,
yep,
this is how I live my life.
Right.
Going.
Right. Without dragging the problem along with me.
Well, yeah. Don't think
you know, it's like he used to say, when you fall off the horse.
Mm-hmm. That's the one I'm thinking of.
You know? What are you going to do, stay on the ground struggling next to the horse, which is cause and effect, or just say, okay, I'm going to brush myself off and get myself back up on. Mm-hmm. So that, to me, is what it's saying. But it has to become natural. It's just like I said, you got to do it and do it and do it and do it until it's a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we were talking about even earlier. Mm-hmm. That is part of your pattern of your emprise, because that's how you do it. Mm-hmm. 27. Functioning as a communion being in a personal abiding being relationship is not difficult. the hardest part is getting used to living in a relationship and holding your focus and concentration on doing so. This is not really a team effort, for as the eyes and ears and hands and mouth of this relationship, you give individual perception, true listening, offering actions and voice to clarified knowings beyond languaging. This is more than wisdom. It is divinity expressing in normal affairs.
Anyway, I got the impression from that statement that it was a lot like projecting it all the time, consciously. Okay.
I see where you put it, yeah.
Oh, wait, is it not? You say you see how I could go there, but you have a different see of it?
No, I can see that would be one way of doing it, yes.
Ah, okay, great. Thank you. That's a good way to say it, not the only way.
28. We cannot tell you what is so personal to you. We can only reawaken your desire for these personal experiences and for a meaningful self in life beyond effects, rewards, or acknowledgments. And that's a hard one for someone like myself who's an entertainer. You know, to get beyond the accolades and everything else. And there's many people that they look for in all parts of their life. I mean, everywhere. They're looking for the recognition.
I met one.
And what we have to do is help them to learn to acknowledge themselves. And it's raining even more. Okay, 29. We can give you the tools to know when you are first straying from all you truly desire. If you desire these experiences, do not lay down your physical life or lessen or abandon your daily activities. For these experiences and ways of life are intended to enhance and expand your material life and strengthen your body. 30. It is frequently declared that in order to be rightfully empowered in the beauty and honesty of spirit, you must set aside your conscious physical self in life and commune with spirit. Don't you believe it? At most, we would suggest that you put aside your restive feelings and judgments and let your communion of personal self, abiding self, as a mutually supportive couplet, be intimately sensuous and beautiful and self-empowering. That will offer you awareness and guidance beyond any cause and effect, languaging, knowing, or assumed spirituality. You're just blasting through these, huh?
Yeah, if I say no questions at a certain point for me, it's just reading.
Yeah, well, it's important because if we stumble on something that somebody goes, what? We need to talk about it. Hopefully we'll make it through this sucker. What are we, a third of the way through? Third of the way through? Half the way through? Okay, 31. If you are to love God and your neighbor as you love yourself, what does this mean? Do you love yourself? If so, what is the love you give to yourself? And how do you give that love? And to whom do you give it? Do you even know the self you are to love? Is that a divine self or an abiding self you are to love and honor as you love and honor a God? And how can you learn of the self of yourself you are to love and honor? Can you communion with that abiding self? And how can you communion with your abiding self until you learn of your abiding self? Do you know of yourself? And can you love and communion with yourself? If so, do you see that in knowing yourself, you must know your abiding self? For your abiding self is as you are. Your term of imprisonment is over, and the door is wide open. You are free to live in communion with your abiding self. Communioning with your abiding self is not a matter of listening. It is giving power and voice to your abiding self. Only then you are as your abiding self, for you are in that, in living communion with your abiding self, only then you are as your abiding self. Step aside to listen and you sever your communion. Therefore,
If you must listen, remain with your abiding self and listen carefully to all you say. Will you hear what you truly desire? You may believe that you say and even agree with what you say, but will that be what you truly desire? 33. If you love yourself, say, I am God. You may believe this and may even agree with this declaration. But is that what you truly desire? Or do you really desire to hear yourself speaking as God? Give voice only to the words and actions you truly desire, that you desire hearing, sensing, experiencing, and in that you are God of your own making through this true offering. Clear your mind and actions of judgments and cause and effect actions, and give voice to the words and actions you truly desire. Do not clear or steal your mind and invite a God in to reveal himself to you, or even to reveal himself to others through you. For in voicing and actioning God, this reveals you as God. And isn't that what you really want to hear and see and experience? Remember, when was it, in the 80s, when it was the big thing to say, I am God, and Shirley MacLaine and all that kind of stuff, and nobody knew what on earth she was freaking talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Who was it?
Shirley MacLaine. She's an actress. But she did open the door for a lot of people to get into a lot of this stuff.
That was me.
You were one
of
them.
First exposure to all that.
Yeah. And I applaud her for that.
Mm-hmm.
34. It is frequently declared that to hear God, you must find a quiet place, as in meditation, in which to quiet your mind and invite God in, and then listen intently. However, if you want to be God, or be like God, as in the declarations, I am God, then you must actively live as God in all matters at every moment, not merely in making pronouncements. And you must consider whether your words and actions are as you would have God speak and act with you. Otherwise, your declarations are deceiving you. Declarations and actions do not cause you to be God, or even be as God. That whole thing about you can't cause it, guys.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta live it. Seems like there's somebody named something living. I was out there somewhere, wasn't it?
That's a good name. I'll take that one.
35. You cannot sit passively in meditation and ignore or deny cause and effect, and properly declare you have moved beyond cause and effect. For moving beyond cause and effect, like being God, or being as God requires full active participation in life in a cause and effect language world, without being trapped in cause and effect.
Wait a minute, would you read that again?
Yeah.
For moving beyond cause and effect, like being God, or being as God, I was just wondering if those are different. I guess they are different. Requires
well, being God and being as God are two different things.
Yeah, I got it now. Okay, thank you.
Requires full active participation in life in a cause and effect language world without being trapped in cause and effect. That was better said.
Okay.
For cause and effect keeps you constantly concerned with outcomes and forces you to endlessly search for the right way to cause what you desire. 36. Beyond cause and effect, in true offering, without concerning yourself with outcomes, your mind is actively stilled to the matters at hand, and in that, if there is a voice or action of God to be heard or experienced, it is the voice and action of yourself. And you can rightfully declare, I am God, because your thinking, voice, and actions reveal that is so. 37. Who are your parents? As a child, you had a father and mother, but maybe you didn't really know them.
Maybe they weren't there for you as you wanted. Or maybe one or both parents were aloof or tyrannical or abusive. Or maybe you have fond memories of your parents, but they are not around today or nearby. Then who are your parents right now? Who can you companion with and rely on? Who is your father now? Who is your mother? Are they there for you? And are you there for them? Have you created a group of friends or associates as substitute parents and family? Are you willing to parent and family with your personal being, abiding being, which is your true family? Mm-hmm. 38. There is no goal or purpose in life. Life is evolving from previous goals and purposes. In the same way, you do not do to consequent something, you do or evolve to unconsequent what is. Isn't that weird? Mm-hmm. 39. Are you learning, growing, developing, or evolving out of denial and ignorance? Can you even tell? Which is the greater to you? Are you evolving to divinity and wisdom, or out of denying your divinity and wisdom? Life is weird, isn't it? Really weird. Are you evolving to oneness, or out of oneness, to unseparated separations, or to unseparated individualness? Can you not see that in the Big Bang, the universe is moving from oneness to unseparated individualism of all things? And as part of the universe, you are doing the same.
Why unseparated individualists? Why not just separated individualists?
Ask the man.
What?
So why here are we talking, we say like, can you not see that in the Big Bang, the universe is moving from oneness to unseparated individualism of all things? I'm just wondering, why not just individualism of all things? Why the unseparated?
Because if I say just individualized, everybody thinks separate.
Yeah.
Separate, you lose the different appearance of oneness in that.
Yeah, I had just been following a picture that, you know, all things.
I'm trying to create a picture that you'll follow, and you just keep following your old pictures.
Okay. Hmm. Okay, thanks.
I think you're drawing a picture pretty good here.
Mm-hmm. Anything from the peanut gallery back there?
Just a bunch of Z's.
Everybody else.
What happened to Susan? Oh, she's out.
This is a long run here.
Mm-hmm. It is. But he's doing it.
You're doing it great. You're still reading.
You don't know that I'm awake or asleep.
At least your eyes are open.
I asked the question, didn't I? So I wasn't so asleep as you thought.
You're doing great. 40.
I got an afternoon to be all bored to death.
Yes, you do. Okay. Your life is much more than choosing a pathway and following that path. It is about declaring the eternal person who will walk that path, such that an uncertain, meaningless, or difficult path will not lead to a doubting or unfulfilled individual, or to living in confusion, ill-being, or even in sadness or despair. Actually, a clearly defined, well-worn pathway does not ensure mental awareness and clarity, or even fulfillment, for your true nature and qualities are never concealed or revealed by the pathway you choose. They may be denied or ignored, but they are never concealed or lost, nor are your finest qualities. Somebody want to grab them?
Hang on. Just got my hands full here.
And true nature necessarily revealed by the pathway you choose to follow.
I just wanted to get some exercise, move.
Well, let's get up then.
Do some kicks.
You want to take a 5-minute break and move around? Let's do that, guys.
Turn on the dance.
Physical is important for getting this eternal self grounded and going. Look it up.
Get up, move a little, dude. That's why we're stopping.
Clear your head.
I need some clear water, ice water.
Yes, well, you're going to get.
Come on, get it.
More than just that. I'm going to get you your heavy rubbers and green.
That might be too much.
50 bucks.
Green and ice.